name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Edward Clarice. Clarice. You know, I got to say, there's been some confusion. I had just said that I was waiting at Arrivals for my friend Al Kemi. And then just all heck broke loose. So I don't know what's going on.
Caused a problem?
Yeah.
You got to be careful with the way things talk, Mr. Clarice. I have some liver and some farver beans over here for you that we can enjoy after the show. Ooh. But we need to talk this week.
I will go get a nice Chianti.
Thank you very much. You get that. And I'm just going to nickname you Jay in the meantime, because we are here. We are back to talk about Flash Season 3 from the CW. I'm back. I'm Josh, as I said. And this is my friend Jay, who sometimes goes by other names, so just don't get confused by that. But you know,
Flashpoint, dude. Flashpoint.
that's why things change. You know, and we keep going back and messing things up. So, but we are back for season three, and I want to welcome any new listeners that are joining us for the first time. We are very happy to have you here. We hope you guys enjoy the show and participate. We love hearing from people, so we got lots of stuff to talk about this week, and I can't wait to start this season.
This is going to be a very exciting season. All the little teases and previews they've given us have really whet my appetite. I'm looking forward to see what new and exciting traumas Barry is going to heap upon his friends this season.
Yeah, that does kind of happen. If he ever goes looking for friends, you know, on Facebook, I would not like a friend Barry on Facebook if I were you. It's just usually doesn't end well for his friends and family. So watch from afar.
Definitely.
But you know what? I'm thrilled that they have now built this universe with a lot of characters and situations in it that they can really now kind of start playing with things, throwing in a few new characters here and there and just molding the old stuff with a sprinkling of the new. So, and I think that they've got big plans for that, as at least that's what it looks like.
And they put a lot of complexity into it too. I mean, it's, you know, on the outside, it seems relatively simplistic just in the fact that, well, we've only got these, you know, these individual characters and, you know, the assorted villains and stuff, but the characters keep coming back and the actors get to play other versions of these characters and continue to put continually play other versions of these characters. It's kind of incredible how they keep doing that, how they keep making that available to these actors.
Yeah, it's I mean, you used to hear people criticize, you know, well, Flash, he just runs fast. What kind of superpower is that? No, come on. There's all kinds of stuff you can play with here. So, but you know what? I've spent the summer catching up on very old Flash comics and watching old episodes from season two with my new DVD. And you can listen to us talk about that kind of stuff on our summer specials if you're interested. Did you know, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, Jay, or even I told you, but I happened to come across a couple weeks ago the very first Flash comic book that I ever read. And I don't mean a copy of it. I mean the actual
one. The original, yeah. I think you mentioned that on our second summer special this summer, yeah.
Oh, that's right. So I was excited about that, and I found a whole bunch of other ones back from the 70s that I read. They were just in a box somewhere in my house, so it was kind of cool to come across them. But
And it was a Flash. It wasn't like a Brave and a Bold or something.
No,
like
it was the Flash from September of the year's not on the front there. It was only 25 cents, so you know it's a long time ago.
Yeah, like 74, I think it was, 74, 75.
I want to say, 75. Yeah, September 75. And it was, The Flash Volume 26, number 236. So it was basically Flash versus this giant green floating hand. But something we're probably not going to see in the TV series. But hey, you never know.
Season five, you know, they could be like, wow, we've really run out of ideas. hey, grab me a Flash off the shelf there. And 236 gets pulled out.
Jay Garrick's in it. So
cool.
That's a good one. But you know what? We're here to talk about season three. So let's go ahead and break down the episode so everybody kind of knows what week we're talking about, and then we'll get into some bits and pieces about it.
All right, absolutely. Like you said, we're here season three already, which just that – blows me away. I mean, I had to start counting the other day. I'm like, have we really done two seasons? But here we are, episode one of season three. It's called Flashpoint, named after the Flashpoint comic series that came out like a decade ago now, I guess. Originally aired October 4th, 2016. Stories by Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg, and then the teleplay is by Andrew Kreisberg and Brooke Roberts, and directed by Jesse Warren, who is a familiar name to us here on the show. So, his name is Barry Allen. He's the most unfortunate man alive. He doesn't realize it at first, of course. He's living in the new reality that he created by preventing Reverse Flash from killing his mother. Both of his parents are alive and well and exceptionally happy, which means they're both doomed, of course. Barry is still a CSI at CCPD, but to get his iris fix, he has to stalk her in coffee shops until he gets the nerve to finally ask her out. And not even really a great job at that.
Yeah. All that time practicing, he still didn't do a very good job.
All of his buddies aren't doing so hot, though. Joe is a down-on-his-luck detective. Caitlin is an eye doctor. And Cisco, well, no, actually, you know, Cisco's really doing pretty well.
Yeah, he's all right, I guess.
But the city doesn't have to rely on Barry anymore because they have a new Flash, a kid Flash, to protect them from the mean-spirited and horribly uncreative in the naming department villain, The Rival. Oh, I see. I understand how that got confused earlier. Okay, I just realized that.
You see that.
Arrival, yeah. The Rival.
The Rival.
Hmm. Yeah. But all this happiness can't last forever, and Thawne enlightens Barry on the consequences of Flashpoint. The more speed Barry uses, the more his reality will become permanent, and things aren't looking so hot for everyone else either. So Barry has to make a horrible choice, lose his memories and endanger his friends, or let Reverse Flash make things right by repeating his mother's tragic destiny. And even that may not be a very rewarding solution. All this and more on this week's episode of The Flash.
It's starting to sound like a little bit like a soap opera, isn't it? It is a little bit. Man, you think about some of these comic books, they feel like 70-year-old soap operas almost. Man.
They are, yeah. Well, this is not and if anything, this would be more probably of a straight soap opera, not the telenovela that is known as Arrow, if you listen to our Green Justice podcast. That gets a little crazy sometimes. But yeah, it's you know, I think this is the CW, but, you know, kind of dramas in general and superhero shows, you know, there's so much kind of back and forth with character development, stuff like that. It very much is soap opera-esque, though. I don't know. I guess it depends on how many times they kill people and bring them back to life, because soap operas, I think, might actually win in that department over superhero comics.
That would be a really interesting statistic to check into, wouldn't it? See how many soap opera characters versus superheroes have come back from the dead.
Exactly.
Oh, I like this idea. This is General Hospital versus DC. Well, you know what? Before we start talking about the soap operatic qualities of this show, there's a couple little pieces of news that I wanted to share right at the top of the show. We covered a heap of helping good news last week, just speculation on this season, and so we've covered most of it. But there was a couple new things this week that I wanted to share. Why don't you take this first one, because you told me about this one as you were watching it.
So we watched The Big Bang Theory in our house, and for those that watch it, Sheldon, who's one of the main characters, is a huge Flash fan. He often wears a Flash T-shirt, as well as other superhero characters. It's a CBS show, so there's a lot of DC-related comic references on it. He has dressed up like the Flash before for Halloween. Well, on this episode, he is having trouble staying awake while they're working on a science project. So he goes out to get a drink at the machine at the school and falls asleep and is visited in the dream by none other than the Flash, and not Grant Gustin, but another actor dressed up. And it is a comic book looking like latex red super tight Speedo kind of suit. It's It really doesn't leave a lot to the imagination. The guy was in pretty good shape, I got to say. And he offers Sheldon a energy drink, which Sheldon doesn't want because it's got caffeine in it. So he says, no, it's okay. That's how all the superheroes, you know, do stuff. How do you think the Hulk does what he does? How do you think Batman does what he does? Well, actually, Batman, he says, drinks scotch before he goes out. And so he gives Sheldon an energy drink and tells him the first one's free. So if you guys haven't seen it, it's episode 3 from season 10 on Big Bang Theory.
There you go. I like when they throw little things like that for fans of other things that are like the Big Bang Theory. So anyway, it would have been great if they'd had Grant Gustin or even Ezra Miller, you know, just do a quick cameo.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been fun. All right. So I had one other thing that we came across, the title of next week's episode. And the reason I'm kind of sharing that here in the news at the top is because it's related to the title of this week's episode and, you know, the all the topics we're going to talk about here. But episode 2 of season 3 is called Paradox. So this week's
Flashpoint, mm-hmm. Next week's Paradox.
And so he gets attacked by a couple docs, I think, in the – No, that's not. I couldn't even set that joke up to be funny. Even when I tried to type it wrong.
You know what? You should go back in time to the beginning of the show and try it again.
I wish I could. I really would. I would do that even if it changed the rest of the timeline. What's interesting about the title is because of the title of the what do you call those? Are they movies? Are they straight to video? The animated direct to video release. The animated version of Flashpoint that they took, where they took all the comic story and they put it into the animated movie version, was called Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah.
And so those two titles have a history of going together, and now we're going to see. I find this an interesting title just based on what we saw happen this week by the end. Because a paradox is where two things shouldn't be happening together, right? Or, you know, I mean, it's not a good definition. We'll talk more about that next week, but that is not really where I thought they'd be going with the story. So,
no, we had discussed over the summer, like, how long did we think that this was going to continue on? Like, how long was it going to be in this reality? Was it going to be several episodes? Could it be up until season break? And I think
let me ask you about that. Because we did. We thought it was going to be at least 4 or 5 episodes, right? And right. It was over basically in one. Now, obviously, there's implications that are going to go forward into the future, but the actual Flashpoint itself was only one episode, whereas the comic book version, you know, and of course you can't compare it directly because there's always differences. You have to, but it had 5 direct comics, Flashpoint comics, plus 61 total comics that were affected by the events in Flashpoint.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I didn't know it was that many.
So it was a huge event in DC, obviously. I mean, it completely changed the entire DC universe.
Right. It was the birth of the new 52.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think they were successful on the TV show condensing it so much?
Well, like we've discussed and we were discussing last season, they used a number of elements of Flashpoint already. Just things like Barry losing his speed and then having to get it back, you know, and they had to create some kind of electrical generator and stuff like this.
Yeah.
There were so many things that they couldn't do in Flashpoint because they just don't have all these other superheroes.
Okay. So they couldn't do Batman.
Right.
Assuming Aquaman, Wonder Woman, that kind of stuff.
Right. Right. But the main, if you boil Flashpoint down to its barest elements, which is Barry saves his mom and then has to deal with this new reality that he's created, and Reverse Flash is there taunting him about it and telling him, you know, well, you really screwed things up now and, you know, I can fix it for you. I think they pulled that basically just the backbone out of Flashpoint. I think it was pretty successful. It wasn't what I was expecting, and it wasn't until my second viewing of the episode that I was more comfortable with it, because always with season premieres, I'm so excited about what's going on that I'm I'm like racing ahead in the story. Like I'm not really paying attention completely. Like I'm not invested in it because I'm just like, oh yeah, what are we going to do? And we're going to get this. And then
it's been such a long time coming and you're excited. And it's, I know what you're saying. Well, and straight from the get-go, I will say that it's really dangerous to compare, first of all, your expectations of what something is going to be, and also comparing it to something that it's based on. If you criticize it too much based on that, then I think, you know, you run the risk of really just not enjoying it for the sake of enjoying it, you know? But
yeah. I don't think you can – I mean, it's really apples to oranges, so I don't think there's a comparison.
But,
so.
You know, having said that, though, that is one of the bigger storylines in the 75-plus years of the Flash's history that they could have pulled from.
It's in the top five, easily.
Big time. Big time. And so having just boiled it down to one episode, I think they really kind of limited their creative options, which, you know, I was a little disappointed in, but I did really enjoy the episode. And, you know, just because it didn't necessarily fulfill all the expectations I have, that doesn't mean that I didn't appreciate it. But I think maybe one of the reasons that they didn't extend it was because of the other CW shows. I think maybe that they were worried about the implications of, say, maybe replacing the Batman character in Flashpoint with Oliver Queen as Arrow because it's connected in the same universe.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to mess up the Arrow show at the same time. But okay. I don't think they had to. I think they could have done both. I think they could have maybe thrown Oliver Queen in at maybe episode two and shown some of the differences and not even mentioned it at the beginning of Arrow. And maybe later on down the line, you'd notice something.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, because they could have, because if they knew they were going to go back and kind of reset stuff, they could have gone a couple episodes and you're like, well, wait, how does this tie in with Arrow or Legends of Tomorrow, but less with Legends of Tomorrow. And then, you know, but you're watching Arrow and you're like, well, I don't see how this is fitting and how could Oliver have done this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end of episode two or three or whatever, Barry goes back and resets stuff and you're like, oh, well, that's why we're seeing Arrow the way we're seeing Arrow, because it got reset. So-
That's why I think they didn't do it. I really I'm sure there's other reasons too, and they probably have other things planned on the horizon. They plan the entire season out, you know, basically. I'm sure they outline it and then you know, put the details in as the season
goes through. Right, they color within the lines then, yeah.
Exactly, right. But I think they kind of limited themselves with that. I would have really liked to have seen some of the other aspects that made Flashpoint such a huge story. I mean, and when it boils down to it, I don't know that he made the decision to change it back for an important enough reason. So we'll get to that, but let's
okay, good.
Talk
yeah, I
about
definitely
things,
want to talk more about that.
Yeah. Let's talk about the things that actually changed with each character just real briefly.
Okay.
Because that's going to lay out the groundwork for what is going to happen in the future with these characters, because obviously we know there's been some changes now that Thawne screwed everything up. Well, we assume Thawne screwed it up.
Barry assumes Thawne screwed it up. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So with Biff Barry, looks like he has his powers still. He's still a CSI, which you could argue several ways. Well, would he become a CSI still if he didn't have to prove his father's innocence?
Right. That is one of the kind of the weak points that I was thinking about for this.
Yeah. There's things like that, but that's some of that time travel stuff that you can't, you put too much stock into when you're trying to evaluate these stories. But that could be one of those things. You've seen those movies where you're just destined to do things no matter what, right?
Right. Those like fixed points in time that they talk about, like on different time travel movies and
shows.
Yeah,
exactly.
And stuff.
Where no matter how many times you go back and change it, it still kind of wants to go in this general direction, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
Was that, H.G. Wells time machine that they made back in the 90s or something like that.
2001.
Was it 2001? Oh, wow. Which was kind of a underwhelming movie to a lot of people, but I appreciated a lot of things like that in it because he kept trying to go back to save his wife with this time machine. And that was the paradox, is that he, he created the time machine so he could go back and save his wife. So if she didn't die, he would have never made the time machine. So it's things like that. So it could have been just I can understand that stuff as far as him being a CSI and stuff. Not sure exactly how he has his powers, but
right. So yeah, because he came from this other timeline, he retains him, his memory and his powers. That is kind of the way I looked at it.
I know what I'm saying. He even explained it later. How can I say I don't understand it? That's
well, I mean, no, I mean, it's complicated. Like they said, you know, cause Wally's talking about how it's like, I've been me all this whole time. It's not like I just started this 3 months ago, you know, and Barry's like, it's complicated, but yeah, it's like, you know, backing up and going down a different street. You still got everything you've got with you, even if the street is a variation of the one you were just on.
Right. So, okay, so I got that. So we got that Barry. He's never really been with Joe. I guess I'm assuming it didn't seem really like Joe even really knew him other than that he worked at the police department. But
yeah, Joe didn't want to know anybody.
No, he didn't. He didn't have Iris or his friends, and his parents are alive. So that's the basics of which is all he knew that going in. He knew that was all going to be pretty much like that.
Yeah.
When he changed the timeline.
Because the most important thing to him was his mom was alive. Well, his dad had always been alive at that point. And, you know, that again, Barry was being very selfish about this. And, you know, consequences be damned. And he, you know, I mean, just thinking about it, too, he took and locked up Thawne. And he's going to, like, I'm never letting you out. You're just going to rot in here. I'm like, dude doesn't even have a toilet. And you're going to rely – he's going to rely on Barry to come every – day or a couple days and bring him food. I mean,
well, you know, eventually
at some point, Barry's going to get bored and just forget about this. And
oh, bummer. Eventually he's going to have to, if he keeps bringing him Big Belly Burger, he's going to have to make him a toilet. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, so now we'll go to Wally now, since we're talking about Flashes. So he is Kid Flash. Kid Flash. Let's call him Kid Flash. Did you notice that on the – I noticed this my second time around. On the TV, it said Kid Flash, too. It did say Kid Flash,
right, because they said everyone calls him Kid Flash. And he's like, can we just say nobody needs to call me Kid Flash? And they were like, everyone does.
And I can see why he doesn't like that. But if you think of it, it's got kind of a cowboy quality to it, you know. Kid Flash. But I don't think that's why they were calling him. Now, he's obviously with Iris. You know, I mean, she's helping him out in their little Flash hideout.
Uh-huh.
Which is not Star Labs. But I know Joe doesn't know he is Flash, Kid Flash, but I didn't quite get that whole relationship. Are they living with Joe? Do they have a relationship with Joe?
I don't think they're living with Joe. Joe seemed to be kind of on his own, right?
Yeah,
which is why he was struggling for whatever reason. But Joe knew he was his son, so that had been resolved, unless he was just using son in the colloquial sense. But I got the sense that he was talking to his progeny, you know, so
yeah. And I think that they didn't say anything about this, but I get the impression that maybe some of his woes, we're talking about Joe now, not Wally, I kind of skipped down to Joe, but it were maybe from his wife, you know. So I mean, maybe whatever happened there didn't really ever get resolved or solved, and you know, obviously she still had Iris and Wally, so maybe it had something to do with that. We probably will never find that out. But
yeah, that was the thing. I didn't, you know, thinking about it, I'm like, why would Joe just be kind of like a sloppy drunk? And the fact that he can still kind of, I mean, obviously this would probably have been something relatively new, because I don't think he would I mean, it sounded like he was close to being ousted from the police department. But, you know, I can't see that going on for a long time.
He didn't even seem like he cared. So, speaking of Wally here, we go back to the new timeline, kind of skipping ahead, but he obviously isn't Kid Flash, or assuming he has no powers yet. I guess he could.
At the end of the episode, you mean, right?
At the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But he explained in the episode, he told Barry how he got his powers, and you know what? It didn't really have anything to do with the particle accelerator.
Right.
So there isn't really a reason that he couldn't get those same powers.
Right. Now, the other thing that was important to note about that is that Wally does say that he was in a coma for 9 months, just like Barry.
Yep.
So there is you know, they're setting that up. It's like, well, you get blasted and then you have to be in a coma for 9 months, potentially.
That's like the
now,
incubation.
Now, we'll see, because, like you said, something may happen and he may get his powers, or he may have powers because of the particle accelerator explosion last season, or something else may happen. You know, who knows?
Maybe if you get hit by a particle acceleration wave and get struck by lightning with your car, it kind of speeds up the healing process. So it doesn't have to be the 9 months, maybe.
Okay, yeah. And if your car could then get superpowers too, that would be neat.
That's a different show.
Okay.
You know what? Here, I'll do a little speculation now. As you kind of said that, it made me think. I'm going to speculate that maybe Wally gets his powers over the winter break.
Okay. So
that gives,
after
him, that gives him some time.
Crossover, huh?
Yeah, that gives it some time to for him to be in the coma, right?
To percolate.
Percolate, yeah. So, all right. So, anyway, I'm curious about Wally and if they're going to give him his powers back here, or are we going to see him again? Because that was another reason that I thought this was going to last more than one episode, because of all that big hype with Wally and Kid Flash. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
see,
Iris.
Sometimes the hype is too much.
Yeah.
Like, they should have just let us figure it out.
Well, and I don't even know that it was necessarily too much if they would have maybe spread it out a little bit over the season. All the hype was from pretty much the first episode. I mean,
Well, I guess that's true. I mean, we've seen some scenes from a few, or stills, or parts of scenes from other shows. But yeah,
things,
you're right.
But they talked about Flashpoint. They talked about Cisco and Caitlin and Wally all being different. And they talked. I mean, almost all of the hype was from episode one. So we don't know much else going on other than a few characters that we know are coming. So now Iris was a very interesting character in this episode, and I got to hand it to Candace Patton, man. Spot on. This was maybe my favorite episode with Iris ever. I really like how she played the love. I mean, truly, Barry's true love.
It's obvious that there, like you were saying, there's certain things that want to happen, that there's this yin-yang quality between the two of them as they fit together, you know, and complement each other.
Yeah. Well, there is a little bit of a history of something like this in the Flash comics, especially with Wally and Linda Park. In the comics, Linda Park is Wally's girlfriend, eventually wife, right?
Uh-huh.
And whenever something happens where Wally gets sucked into the Speed Force or something like that.
Oh, right.
Linda is his anchor, right? Linda is what makes him able to make it back.
She's his constant.
That's right. And so I like that they're kind of using Iris as this with Barry, and she realizes it. And she, as a character in this, where all the characters are different, they know absolutely nothing that's going on. Even the person that's, you know, got the closest connection of his parents and Joe, they don't have a clue. But she has that connection still, and she feels it. She even says from the first time she saw him. And I like that. I kind of hope they just subtly weave that in through the rest of the, well, just the series, because they're going to do that with Iris. But I noticed and appreciated that. And I'm glad that he had that little connection with her, because I think it made, I know that it was an emotional scene, because my daughter started crying during that scene where he said goodbye to his parents and he was telling Iris, you know, and she says, will I feel anything, or what, all the stuff she said.
A lot of feels there. Yeah.
Really liked Iris. Now, Cisco was fun to watch. Rich, arrogant. I didn't see this one coming, and I'm glad they put it in. He designed the Kid Flash suit.
Yeah. So there are elements of his story that are parallel the way they worked before. Worked at Star Labs, but then ended up buying it because he made so much money. Built the Flash suit, builds apps, still pretty much Cisco, but obviously because he's a billionaire, there's a lot of other stuff going on with him. Interesting take on Cisco, but I think I prefer our other version.
Me too, for sure. But it was fun to kind of see that kind of stuff. The same way it was fun to see the Earth 2 version of Cisco, right?
Yeah.
It's fun to just kind of play around with those characters in alternate realities. Now, do you think he's a billionaire? Do you think he has more t-shirts or less t-shirts?
Good question. I'm going to say less t-shirts because he's probably, I mean, he's wearing, you know, business formal pretty much
now,
there.
Now he can afford all of them, right? He could just buy the company and make whatever he wants.
That's true. He can make whatever he wants. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, now turn that around. Caitlin was maybe the least interesting character from this. I disliked her. It was just
underutilized. Wow,
but I did like that they made her even, you know, kind of more nerdy, and she ended up still being a great help to him anyway. I mean, she kind of knew what she was doing, and she helped him out with Wally a little bit. And I don't know. I might have made her a little bit more of something similar to what she was, other than a pediatric eye doctor. Yeah, she was still a doctor, though. So,
yeah, and she had some, you know, some tech ideas and was able to, you know, help them with the speed cameras and stuff like that. So,
That's right. She did. She kind of, I think eventually she would probably, like, if they stayed in that timeline for a while, she would start helping them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then the one other character that I really wanted to know more about in this timeline was Harrison Wells.
Oh, that's true. He wasn't even there.
He wasn't in it at all, in any incarnation of him. You know, obviously not Earth 2. Now, do you think he would be dead? The real Harrison Wells, do you think he would be dead in this?
Well, we discussed that. And obviously, if Thawne got captured by Barry, he wouldn't have killed Harrison Wells unless that was destined to happen. So, I mean, Harrison probably went on to build Star Labs, but then Cisco bought it. So, like, yeah, he's off somewhere, you know.
He's probably working for Tina McGee somewhere, probably, huh?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, at, was it Mercury Labs?
Yeah. Well, I would have liked to have seen something about him, and I want him to be back soon, somehow. But right now, there's no indication of him being around, so.
Well, there's always next week.
That's true. That's true. And we don't know what's happening since all the hype was from episode one. Well, the executive producers have promised permanent changes of this season and the entire series because of Barry's swirling around reality.
I can see that. I mean, so on my first take through, I was like, wow, is that all they're doing with Flashpoint? You know, we come back. And I think at that point, I was already starting to check out of the episode because I knew they were just going to wrap it up and Barry was coming back. But then all of a sudden, they kind of surprise us with, you know, Iris isn't around anymore. She and Dad don't talk. And it's like, what? Oh, my God, what did I do? And, you know, Reverse Flash kind of teases the fact that, like, I don't know how he's so in tune with all of this, like he knows what the speed, I mean, I don't know, maybe he's in touch with the Speed Force more than Barry is, but he like knew what was going on in the Flashpoint portion. He seems to know that something is amiss now that they've returned to the real quote unquote timeline.
Yeah. I wonder if he just has more knowledge of the history of Barry's life since he's from the future, if he has more knowledge and that's why he's able to see what changes he can make, you know, more than Barry.
Wow.
I mean, he even called him like an amateur or something like that, or messing around with things you don't understand. You know, he's saying things like that to him. So if he understands these implications a little bit more, because that's what he's spent his life doing, you know, getting his speed and coming back to take revenge out on Barry. And I'm sure he's looked into a lot of these details, so he knows what he can and can't do.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if we were to go back and look at season one, I wonder if the Reverse Flash or Wells says something about Iris at some point, like, oh, like this is weird, you know, because Iris is in Barry's life when, if he is from the future and from a future at this point where he would know that, you know, something is different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, he did say at the end of season one, talking to Eddie, remember, saying how you know, Eddie's not even going to be marrying Iris because Barry and Iris are destined to be together. So he did know about that.
Oh, true. Yeah.
That would be.
I'm just thinking if he knew about, you know, like he knew that Barry and Iris were together in the previous timeline, but now that they've come back, something got screwed up and he knows that they're not together. Because again, he was like, you know, something's not quite right. And Barry's like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, you'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah. the other thing I was wondering about with looking back into previous episodes throughout the seasons here, at that night when his mother dies, when Thawne is there, in one episode from a previous season, and Barry went back to save his mother and then sees himself.
Yeah,
from season one. Sees himself and tells himself not to stop him. Which Barry was doing that? Which Barry was the one telling
him not to?
Not to do it. Not to. Yeah.
We still haven't seen that Barry. That Barry has the brighter red suit. That Barry has the suit that's in the preview or the poster for season three, the bright red suit, not this kind of dirty red suit that he wears currently.
So it almost seems like he's going to have to go back to that night again. And
there's always a winter break. There's always a season finale. Right.
Well,
he's going to go back every damn year that the show's on.
It's like a holiday tradition in Barry's family. He's got to go watch his mother die every year.
Happy Mother's Day.
At least he gets to see her. That's so sad. Well, anyway, looking back on that, why he did it. He came back. He had to get Thawne to go back with him. Thawne, of course, in his all of his evil glory, made him ask. Because that's just to prove that he is the biggest jerk on the planet.
Yeah.
That is cool. That may even be colder than Zoom, man. It's hard to say. Don't make people mad that have speed. I'm just telling you. But even so, and again, this goes back to what I was saying about Flashpoint being such a big story. Why does Barry change it? It seems to be a very selfish decision that Barry lets Thawne out and has him go back and change time. What's he losing?
He's losing all his memories. I mean, his memories are what he is, and if he loses that, we're talking about basically your sentience. If you don't remember anything that you've done, are you still you? You know, I mean,
but he loses his memories from his previous life.
Lose his speed too. Like he'd forget that he was the Flash. And he's forgetting, right, but he's forgetting he knew Iris. He's forgetting all the memories with his parents. What memories are left? Like, what are the memories? Like, would he only have memories from the last 3 months?
Or would he have memories from this timeline where his parents survived? And so he loses his powers. And you know, not for me. I mean, I don't want him to lose his powers. But as far as the decision, in the comic Flashpoint, it was, look, go back and let him kill your mom or the entire world is going to be destroyed.
There were, of course, bigger consequences for that.
Yeah. So, it just seems like and maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there were bigger implications. Obviously, Wally might have died. He wasn't healing. And that definitely wouldn't have been a good thing. But, you know, going back ensures for a fact that your parents are both going to die and that Eddie Thawne is going to die and that, you know, so. And that all the people when he opened the wormhole are going to die and Zoom's going to come and kill people. So I don't know. It seems to be set up a very selfish decision for Flash to do this.
We've talked about this from a philosophical standpoint before in either season one or season two. And, you know, Barry is not who Barry is without the loss of his mom, without all of the hard work that he put in to try to find the person that killed his mom, that sent his dad to jail, to try to free his dad from jail. Without all that, I mean, it's just like, he's had a cakewalk. It's like, you know, taking performance-enhancing drugs to make you stronger, right? Like, you can shortcut that, but just look at all the risks and problems that come along with that. But if you achieve things in the normal progression, and life's progression is, you know, about loss. I mean, that's the one thing that everybody can count on is that you lose people in your life. and you have to deal with that. And that's what's made Barry the person, the caring person that he is today. Without that, I'd argue, I mean, he's nothing. He's not the fastest man alive. He's not, like you said, he doesn't have these friends. It's just like, what's special about this character? And he is being selfish. Great. I got my parents back. I'm lucky that I still have both my parents around right now. But you know, when it's their time to go, that is going to be a tragedy and it's going to be really sad, but you know, I don't have the ability to go back in time and change that. And I don't know that I would, because I like how stuff is unfolded now. However difficult it may have been, in different times and stuff.
Your failures, your losses, and your successes, all that makes you who you are, for sure. And, you could also argue, and you see this in certain movies too, but what he's living now, like Thon said, it's a lie. It's not real. It's not the timeline that's supposed to be.
Right.
But then again, Thon came back and killed his mother. So is that the timeline that's supposed to be? So, there's a lot of different philosophical arguments, and there's no answer, of course, but that would be one thing that I wish they would have maybe made the consequences a little bit bigger, so it seemed like he was being the hero again instead of just trying to get his speed and power and memories back. Right. So,
I mean, I think a two-part episode would have been better, and it would have had that level of consequence and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. So, but then he gets back, and based on what Thon tells him, things are screwed up. Although it does seem, just from what we saw, the one short scene, it seems to be pretty much the same, except for the fact that Iris is gone. So where is she? You think you got any ideas on where she might be or what she's doing?
I think she's around still, but I think where there had been some breakup with in the original timeline from the previous seasons, where there was some breakup with Francine and Joe, and yes, he never knew Wally. I think maybe Iris was with Francine, and then they were together or something, and then there was some friction, and that the split with Francine fractured the relationship with Iris. That was my thought.
Oh, interesting. So it has something to do with Francine there too. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she'll just be kind of around but mad and not talking to Joe. I'd like to kind of see some bigger implications of that, because she's going to have to have some kind of issues with Barry as well. Otherwise, why would Thon just mess with it like that?
Right.
All right. So we got some new people coming up next week. We saw right at the end, and we'll be talking about them in the future. Edward Claris, who played the rival.
Yeah.
I think it's got some potential in the future, but not sure how well they pulled this particular one off.
I thought it was good seeing the rival as a developed character, even though we didn't know anything about him in the Flashpoint version of the universe. And it was very much interesting that because we hadn't seen him, and so he's going to get created now. Because Barry did what he did, and came back. Who knows? Maybe that's like something that got brought back with him, is that fact that there's,
or is it possible he already has the speed and just hasn't done anything with it? I mean, it looked like he had just kind of settled down, maybe had a wife, and he just maybe hadn't done anything with it.
We don't know. That's a
The reason I say that is because, Alchemy, who we saw on the mirror, is calling
Alchemy. Uh huh.
Yeah. The word Alchemy. Yeah. Is calling for him. So like he had maybe already done something, and like Edward Claris maybe knew about it already and knew he was coming. Like that it was on the mirror. Are we going to see something?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even put that together. Of course it was in the mirror.
So is this Dr. Alchemy gathering people, gathering a rogues gallery of such, and maybe he's already got Mirror Master?
Mirror Master, of course. Yes. Oh, my God. That's Josh. That's awesome. Yeah, that's totally it. I mean, and whether or not it's actually Dr. Alchemy that was calling him, or it was Mirror Master putting the call out for, because Dr. Alchemy told him to do it. Though, actually, when I think back, the voice we heard was probably Dr. Alchemy's voice.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Mirror Master is the transportation that he used.
So, and not the greatest handwriting ever, I would say. So,
he's having to do it backwards, though. Think about it. He's inside.
Okay, all right. I'll give him that. I'll give him that.
That was. I got it. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know.
Well, there's so many other things to think about this. You know, I mean, I'm interested to see if this will affect Arrow in any way.
You know Stephen what? Amell I've got ideas about that. Having seen the season premiere of Arrow.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm going to save that. I'm going to save that for our Green Justice podcast.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds great. I'm also interested to see next week's premiere of Legends of Tomorrow, because apparently Reverse Flash is going to be showing up there. So I don't know if they'll
mention it. As part of the Legion of Doom, huh?
That's right. That's right. So I don't know if he'll reveal anything there, or if it'll even be connected at this time, you know, with if he'll – because
guys, I had the weirdest summer. I was stuck in this jail. Oh, come
Sorry,
on.
Sorry I'm Thawne. Late. I had to shave. But man, like I said, so much to talk about, so much to look forward to. So, and we'll get to it. We will. There's a lot of shows this season, and it'll all be connected together. So had a little bit of feedback that I wanted to share with you. I'll read this first one because it is something that we kind of missed out on our last summer special that I hadn't even thought of. So I want to thank Matt. Sent us a message on Facebook. We were talking about the CW app. He said, you pointed out that we can watch the shows on the CW app on our phones. But mm-hmm. It's also worth adding that this app is available on Roku, Apple TV, and also others. So you can watch the shows on your TV if you have one of those devices. And it also might be worth noting that the CW app is not the same as the CW Seed app. You are absolutely right. I actually have a CW folder on my phone with both of those apps. So, so Matt, thank you for filling us in with extra information. I should have looked into that because I didn't even think about it.
But. Yeah, those are good things. I should see because I have smart TVs here, and you know you can load apps for those. I should see if the CW apps on those so I can.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Because I have an Apple computer plugged into my TV, but it's not an Apple TV per se. So I can't, I can load web pages, but I can't really load apps the same way you would do on an Apple TV.
I do have an Apple TV, but it's a little bit older version than the current version. And I think it's limited to what apps you can load on it. If I'm not mistaken, I think I've looked for some in the past and it said it was a little too old version, but there are options. And you know what? This week I was crushed for time and I really wanted to watch the episode again. So I utilized the app and I actually did watch it for a second time on my phone, because I was kind of out and about and I had a little, opportunity when I wasn't at home.
And what are your thoughts? Was that good?
You know what? It's a handy way to watch it if you need to do it like that. It's a little quirky because there are commercials and sometimes it kind of hesitates and snaps. And if you try to fast forward to another part, you got to get through some commercial chunks and stuff. So, but I mean, having said that, I mean, it's free. You have it with you. And if you need to watch it like that, it's not really any different than watching on live TV where there'd be commercials. So,
all right, Josh, right now you're living in the 21st century, my friend.
I know.
This is amazing.
You can watch
a TV show wherever you go on a little device that you pull out of your pocket.
That's why I am giving it a thumbs up.
All right. Well, we also got a piece of feedback here from Tyler who had tweeted at us as well saying, you know, it's only the first episode of season 3 and I've already sent a long email to the guys at Scarlet Velocity. So not really that long. I mean, considering the stuff that Tyler's written to us before, this was a breeze to get through. He starts off by saying, glad we're not stuck in the alternate timeline for longer than an episode. While it was fun to see how different everyone is, I do think it's a better story overall, and I'm glad they were seemingly going in this direction. I think subtle change to the main timeline will be more entertaining in the long term to several episodes stuck into the alternate timeline. Okay, that's fair enough, and it'll give us the chance to obviously explore what has changed. You know, how much is different? Like, what are we expecting to happen? So, what's going to be different from our expectations?
Yeah. It fits this series very well, and it really allows for a lot of good character development. So,
sure, and we know a little something is up with Iris. It seems like Joe and Wally are pretty stable from how we remember them, though, you know, we have very little to go on. Obviously, Iris, something else is up there. We don't know about any of the other characters, though, in the preview for next week. It looks like there's at least one character that has also been kind of drastically affected. So I'm kind of interested to see what's going on with that. His second point, he just says, and this is what we touched on already, he says, have we seen Barry go back in time to stop season one Barry from stopping Reverse Flash from killing Barry's mom? So he's like, every Flash season is like seven regular TV show seasons, so I can't remember. I thought that's where we were headed at the end of the episode, but obviously we got something different.
You know... Poor Barry. Barry's like Bill and Ted from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He's got to leave himself notes to remind himself to go back in time to a certain point to not forget to tell himself stuff.
Righteous, dude. Yeah. And then the final one, it says, the final point that he had here was, where did alternate timeline Barry go when Reverse Flash took them back to the moment of Barry's mom's death? You guys do an extraordinary job of explaining the time travel aspects of the show, so I'll leave that to you. All right, so I'm going to go back to the analogy of the street because I think that works really well for this. So Barry had lived down Main Street. He went all the way down to the end of Main Street, but then he went back in time and he drove backwards down Main Street to First Avenue, and at that point he saved his mom, which caused him to go down what do we want to call it? Like Elm Street. Let's just, I don't know.
Okay.
it's already breaking apart here. Okay, so now he's driving down Elm Street, which is a lot like Main Street, but there are things that are different because his mom and dad are still alive, and he's captured Reverse Flash. And if you notice at in the flashback to when he stopped Reverse Flash, he actually time traveled forward on the Elm Street timeline. So he had time traveled backwards, stopped Reverse Flash from killing his mom, and then he grabbed Reverse Flash, time traveled forwards back to, we're assuming 2016, put Reverse Flash in jail, in his jail, and then went and was living his life with his parents over the summer. But that was all on Elm Street. So when they go back in time, they go back in time on Elm Street, but they go back to the junction of it at right there at First Avenue with Main Street. So when they actually, when Barry allows Reverse Flash to kill his mom, he proceeds again and we assume time travels forward, though it's just, you know, we don't see that part. He time travels forward back on Main Street. But what we find out now is maybe he's not really on Main Street. He's over on Cedar instead. And I hope we remember these street names so we can reference the Elm timeline timeline and the Cedar timeline and the Main timeline. So that's my thought.
What was the middle thing? No.
Marty, why aren't you paying attention?
yeah, that stuff gets complicated, but it's fun to think about. It's crazy, so... All right. Well, we had there were a few references in this.
Yeah.
One of the things that I kind of liked was that there were a lot of references back to season one of The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess kind of like callbacks, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Things that we were introduced to.
Right.
Way back when.
Yeah. So Cisco calls the rival some kind of weather wizard. Right? Because
right.
He creates these tornadoes. So the tornadoes were like what the Weather Wizard did in the very first episode.
In the pilot. Uh-huh.
In the pilot episode, yeah. And also Barry ran around to stop him again, just like he did in the first one. And
Barry
again,
also – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Oh, well, I was going to say Joe saved him when he shot the rival, just like he shot –
Weather Wizard.
Was it Weather Wizard's brother or was it Weather –
well,
no,
it was
Weather
the,
Wizard.
It was the original Weather Wizard, which was the brother – from the pilot, right?
Right.
But Barry also made use of the – and now this wasn't in that first pilot episode, but Barry made use of the his two arms spinning to make – tried to make an air cushion for Wally to land on, which didn't work, and he fell in the dumpster anyway.
I still think he slowed him down though.
Yeah, that's how he was obviously able to survive. So that was pretty cool. The other thing, like – and – this is something that I've been talking about for two seasons, so the fact that I completely miss this on my first time through really upsets me. But Captain Julio Mendez,
Yeah.
That was Alex Desert from the 1990 Flash show. So now all three main characters have guest starred. John Wesley Shipp, Amanda Pays, and Alex Desert have all guested on the new version of the Flash. Plus, we had the one of the police officers show up as the mayor, and we've had one of the villains, Mark Hamill, show up as the trickster. So
I love it.
This is great. I'm so glad. That was really what I wanted to get. At some point, I wanted to make sure he got on the show, and ta-da. Yeah.
I wish Julio would have had the hair still. You know, that would have been good.
But. I don't think he's had that. I think somebody posted something on his Twitter at one point. He's like, he hasn't had that for quite a while, but...
Well, let's get on it.
But character's name on the 90s show. I mean, it was Julio Mendez, so...
Yep. I wish they would have... given him a character that he could play again sometime instead of somebody that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, he still could. Like, we don't know. I mean, right, we've got Captain Singh in this timeline, but who knows? Julio Mendez could be a detective, or he could be a commissioner or councilman or something. You know, who knows?
Awesome. Awesome.
I hope he comes back.
I'm so glad they got him. That's awesome. Well, their little base of operations, the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what were you expecting? A fortress?
Like of solitude?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Nice little shout out to Superman there.
That was good. Oh, this is good. You tell me about this one. I can't believe I forgot to write this one down.
Yeah, you need to turn in your card for this one. So
definitely.
Barry draws the Back to the Future timeline when he's trying to explain to Wally. I mean, it's the same drawing that Doc made on the chalkboard in Back to the Future 2, you know, straight line with the jump back and then the angle, new timeline coming off.
Did you get the impression that Sisko was very impressed that someone was writing on the glass like that gave him an idea he'd never had before?
No, I felt like he was upset with that because Barry's like, I'm going to draw on the glass here. And he was like, ah, ah. I thought he was like not wanting him to.
I did at first, but then he's like, oh, hey, yeah, not a bad idea.
That's cool. So, and I don't know if you noticed too, but Sisko at around that time, he pulls, he's wearing a vest with a watch fob, and then he reaches into his pocket, but instead of pulling out a watch, it's an iPhone that's attached to the fob, which that's so Sisko. It's brilliant. Very classic.
I want one of those now. I think that's a great idea.
I've got a fob, but I actually have a like an old watch attached to it that I wear occasionally when I wear vests. But yeah, I'm going to see if I can attach it to my iPhone case.
Well, and now also Sisko said something about not wanting a vibrating hand through the chest. That's why he didn't want to help them. It almost seems like he still can sense that. You know,
that's
like
what I was going to say.
Vibing.
How did he know? Yeah.
It's like he still can vibe. Like he still sort of knows. I don't know. It could be just a coincidence, but that was a good callback to season one.
Yeah, that was. And then you had some like parallels here that were drawn between the show and the comic book, which you were able to pick out. I hadn't read the comic in a few months here, so I didn't see this.
Well, there was two things that Reverse Flash said to Barry. That reminded me of the Flashpoint comic book. But he says, now who's the villain, Flash? Now who's the villain? And then at the end, he says, God, I wish I could kill you, but today I get to be the hero. So those kind of made me think of the big scene in issue 5 of Flashpoint when the big fight between Reverse Flash and Flash, and he's explaining to Barry how he caused this. And it says, I didn't do anything, not a thing. You see, it turns out, you're the villain today. So it just reminded me of that line. I think they probably threw some of that script in there as a callback to the issue.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that sounds very familiar. I also just thought it was interesting that, you know, they set up, you know, each episode is the Flash is the hero and there's a villain of the week, but also kind of an overall maybe season villain. And they really literally did set this episode up that, you know, it was Barry's fault. I mean, when you look at it, villain might be too strong a word to use, but definitely Barry is the antagonist in this picture. And it's just kind of an interesting twist, you know, for Thawne to be able to call himself a hero. And And, you know, he is kind of, I mean, in his own opinion, he is a hero. Because of course all villains, you know, believe they are doing the right thing, just maybe for the wrong reasons. But, you know, when he says, God, I wish I could kill you, but today I get to be the hero. There's almost like a little bit of pride there. Like he's enjoying this and, you know, I doubt it, but maybe it'll soften his character a little bit in the future for, you know, when we see him back on this show, like you said, he's going to be in Legends of Tomorrow. So I'm sure he'll be his normal, jerky self there, but
yeah,
it's an interesting character, aspect that it might be fun to explore.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He has a lot to atone for, so. And we have a lot of season left to talk about it. But for this week, that's all the time we have left. So, Jay, you and I, we got to run.
Well, Josh, it was great talking to you about this, and I'm glad the summer's done and we can get back to talking about cool shows like this. If you guys enjoyed the episode, please be sure to leave us some feedback on iTunes. You can also email us at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com like Tyler did, or you can post on Twitter to us at Scarlet Velocity, or you can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
You can also check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files at randomchatter.com. All shows are available in the iTunes store, of course, and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to tell all your friends about it. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.